Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Donate a big sum and take control of the music for a week and play a bunch of artists that Stalker despises. It's really up to you. It's your choice. Bruce Springsteen would be nice. Mellencamp would be nice. A bunch of French music would be nice.
French music?
Yeah, just whatever triggers Stalker. The list keeps growing. And you could do that for a good cause and tick off the brand manager as well. So it's kind of like a two-for-one. You can kill two birds with one stone. Yes, indeed. But let's get to some serious conversation. I always love the way that Dawn will cover stuff from a media perspective and what kind of slant or spin mainstream media is putting on things. And that'll be the second half of this conversation. But first part is, and if you're not on YouTube yet, get over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT to watch both of these videos and hit the like and subscribe button while you are there. Over the weekend, we had four of the hostages in the Middle East that were heroically rescued, four Israeli hostages, including one of the, for lack of a better phrase, one of the poster women. I believe she was the one, and I don't have the name in front of me right now. Noah Argamani, 26. I believe, if I recall correctly, she was the one. There's the graphic still photos and video of her bleeding, and she was attacked by these savages. She might have even been raped as well, and she was being put into one of the trucks following the aftermaths of October 7th. And these unbelievably brave souls, and I'm talking about the hostages specifically right now, that spent 6-7 months in tunnels, in darkness, were thankfully rescued. But of course, the mainstream media puts a spin on it that really shouldn't surprise you. But here we are, seven and a half months since October 7th, and it's still kind of alarming to see the way it's this whataboutism, this, well, both sides are to blame and both sides are victims. But never forget, it was October 7th where Hamas initiated this. And now, you know, I subscribe to the FAFO model of, if you F around, you will find out. And you know what? Sadly, there are casualties of innocent civilians during wartime and conflict, and buildings are destroyed. We'll get to the ABC clip and the media spin in just a moment. But I do want to play this. Stalker, you found this. This was K2. This is the wild video of the daring rescue of four Israeli hostages. If you're on YouTube, you're going to see it. If you're not there, get there now, or you'll just get the audio aspect if there is any here. This is K2, these four Jewish hostages finally back in safe way, out of harm's way and in safe places. Take a listen and watch this. Coming through the doors, through windows.
Look at that.
Scopes and lights. Okay, so now the audio is out. They're going in. I'm assuming those are hostages.
Yeah, they are.
Up and down steps into different buildings. They're fighting through shrubs and bushes.
That body cam footage is wild.
That is unbelievable. The IDF, obviously, you know, going out and, you know, we gave you the details on yesterday's show following the weekend, the extensive planning that went into this. And thankfully, those people are rescued, but there's still, I think, well over 128, I think was the number I saw, now that these four have been rescued. So prior to that, I believe the number was 132, but it's probably somewhere in that ballpark. But then you know, it probably should be of no surprise to anybody, the way the mainstream, and really, you think about this, we've seen this at colleges with Ivy League protesters. We've seen this from the Squad Dems, the far left progressives of the Democrat Party and that faction. And you've seen it from the mainstream media. And I want to play you this clip, but I want to give you the headline first from the video from ABC News. I saw this yesterday, and it doesn't surprise me, but it does infuriate me. ABC News, with the headline on their website, as well as the link to the story and the video on Twitter. Questions are mounting over the Israeli Defense Forces raid that freed four Israeli hostages from Hamas. Video showing the aftermath in Gaza revealed buildings ravaged and hundreds of people injured. I don't know about you, but that to me comes off incredibly spun in one direction, incredibly tone deaf, because never forget, it was Hamas that initiated this, raped, murdered, and killed babies, females, innocent citizens at a concert on October 7th. And this is the result of what happens when you do this to innocent people that don't deserve to be dealing with what they've dealt with for over a half of a year. Greg, this is K3, courtesy of ABC News. Listen and watch this clip.
This morning, video showing the ferocity of Israeli airstrikes, which accompanied a huge military operation to free four hostages being held in Gaza by Hamas, with new details emerging of Saturday's daytime rescue raid to bring them home. 26-year-old Noah Agamani hugging her father shortly after her rescue. Noah seen pleading for her life on October 7th as she was taken by Hamas at the Nova Music Festival. Also rescued 27-year-old Andrei Kozlov, 41-year-old Shlomi Ziv, and 22-year-old Amog Mirjan, whose father tragically died just hours before he was freed. The three men this morning still undergoing treatment at this hospital in Tel Aviv. Itai Pesek saying they've all experienced immense trauma.
And now they're improving. But there's still a very long way of rehabilitation that they would need to get.
The IDF saying it gathered weeks of intel, with hundreds of troops fighting for days in the al-Nusrat refugee camp in central Gaza before the rescue operation began at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Israeli special forces disguised as local Palestinians moving into two buildings where the hostages were being held. The call sign for when they were freed was, "We have the diamonds." Then they were helicoptered out of Gaza with Israel celebrating. Only one Israeli policeman was killed. But video of the aftermath revealing entire buildings razed to the ground. More than 270 Palestinians killed during the raid and nearly 700 injured, according to the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry.
Wow. So, I mean, they're taking their cues from Hamas.
They get basically talking points from Hamas.
It's unbelievable.
So our mainstream media in America takes the talking points and bullet points from a terrorist organization, as opposed to spinning it or putting it in the proper context, light, and perspective. But I want to get your thoughts on this from a media standpoint, but I want people to think about this for a moment. In this country, some people on the left and the mainstream media show more sympathy for illegal immigrants coming into this country, not victimized, not maimed, not hurt in any way, and maybe not even from South America, but from the Middle East and China and countries where you're seeing men that are trained to kill, yet they don't show the same sympathy for innocent Jewish people who were doing nothing wrong, nothing illegal, and were held hostage for over a half a year. Think about that in the bizarre upside-down world we live in, where some people have more sympathy for people coming here illegally and undocumented as opposed to people being kidnapped against their will and held hostage. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it's, and even I'm looking at NBC this morning, NBC News, not MSNBC, saying it was a high-risk raid that left a trail of devastation in its wake, raising new doubts about the U.S.'s push for a ceasefire.
It's amazing, because when you rescue people, and I'm sorry, Dawn, these are the risks. This is what's going to happen when you go in there and you free hostages. Like, people are going to die.
I mean, what is the IDF supposed to do? Come in with fruit baskets and fruitcakes and say, "Hey, we're here to get the hostages. We don't want to blow anything up if you give them to us nicely." Come on. This is a consequence of war. Buildings explode. Infrastructure is destroyed, and sadly, and maybe not intentionally, but accidentally, sometimes innocent people get killed.
Well, and one of the IDF captains, we reported, yep. one of the IDF, he wasn't just an officer, he was, you know, a captain helping to lead this. Look, this is bravery on display, is
100%,
it not? 100%. They know how this is dangerous, and they risk their lives for these four hostages. And, you know, I can't even imagine what that would be like to have your, you know, in their 20s, and the young lady... 21-year-old. I mean, mm-hmm. to think about this, that your loved one is missing and somewhere in the hands of these terrorists for about 8 months,
mm-hmm.
and you're praying. It's all you can think about. You can't eat. You can't sleep. And you think, are they alive? Are they dead? This gives hope to everybody else. Are the others still alive? And the way that the media is reporting this is disgraceful.
Mm-hmm.
This is a disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, let me just give you this percentage, and this is from the Foundation of Defense of Democracies.org.
Okay.
How many Palestinians? Like, what's the percentage of Palestinians that support Hamas?
I heard you kind of say it.
Sorry.
70-something?
71% of all Palestinians supported Hamas's decision.
Yeah.
To attack Israel on October 7th.
It's an overwhelming majority.
71%. Yep. So when you're sitting here talking about innocent Palestinians, I get it. I understand. The innocent people are going to die in war. But when you really, really look at these numbers, these are the people that support what Hamas did to Israel on October 7th.
And
these are innocent people.
Also, they also conversely support, you know, the destruction of the West. They don't want Christianity. They don't like America. They don't like the way the Western world lives and operates. It's not just the Jews. They hate America as well. And some numbers I have here, since here are the official tracker. This is according to Fox. Hamas and other militants killed some 1,200 people on October 7th. Mm-hmm. Since then, nearly 37,000 Palestinians have been killed in Israel's ground offensive in the Gaza Strip, although Israel, according to Fox, has disputed these figures.
Because Hamas does not differentiate between, yeah. in that 37,000 number,
yeah.
Hamas does not differentiate between terrorists among that number, so that's what we don't know. How
right.
many of them were terrorists? And then, you know, my question is, if in your place where you live, in your neighborhood, you know that there's a terrorist who in their basement is holding college kids or people they kidnapped or innocent, you know, like families and babies and whatnot, mm-hmm. and you know they're hiding them, and you don't call a tip line,
mm-hmm.
and tip somebody off that you know where these hostages are. You're telling me in these densely populated areas, the locals don't know,
they know
where the hostages are? And so that makes you, at some point after 8 months, you are complicit.
Yeah, you're an accessory. Yeah.
Yeah, and look, this is, you know, we talk about this. A lot of Republicans are speaking out about this, to their credit, and to the credit of people like John Fetterman and Bill Maher,
yeah,
are speaking out about this on the Democrat liberal side. Like, mm-hmm. this is not up for debate. You're damn right. Every single hostage that is still alive must be returned, and we don't stop until they are all returned,
yeah.
By any means necessary.
Yeah, you don't negotiate with terrorists.
No, you don't.
There's no give and take with these madmen.
And I'm sorry, but these are the people. Like, this is. You know, I don't understand Middle East politics. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm an expert on it.
Nope.
But I know right and wrong. There's one side that is right and there's one side that is wrong. Yes, have mistakes been made in war? Of course. Nobody can go to war with somebody else and say, well, no mistakes were made. Mistakes happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of the casualties of war.
Yep.
It sucks, but it's real life.
Yep.
There's one side that is right and there's one side that is wrong. The end.
Israeli authorities believe Hamas is still holding about 120 hostages, with 43 pronounced dead. Survivors include about 15 women, 2 children under the age of 5, and 2 men in their 80s. Can you imagine being in your 80s,
no.
living in a tunnel with no light?
they probably handle it better than the ones in their 20s.
I mean, Joe Biden can't handle the daylight. How are you going to handle a tunnel?
I'm just telling you, seeing that raid, Phil, one more time before we go to break, can we play that one more time for the people who came over to the YouTube chat just to see it? This is K2 again, Phil, if you will, go. See, these guys are just... Think of how dangerous this mission is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, same thing with the people who captured Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Captured and killed Bin Laden.
I just watched that movie last night.
Yeah.
Zero Dark Thirty was on again last night. I love that movie.
Yep. It's crazy. It's what an amazingly brave mission, honestly.
I'm scared just watching it. kudos to anybody that serves at any level. All right, 9:20 here on this Tuesday morning. Speaking of Zero Dark Thirty and movies, it's time for the Morning Mystery Movie Clip.
And now, the Morning Mystery Movie Clip on Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Watch this.
What the heck are you doing?
That's what I'm talking about.
I better go.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? Yeah. If a coach would have put me in fourth quarter, we'd have been state champions, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. You better believe things would have been different. I'd have gone pro.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, a little clue today. 20 years ago today, this movie came out. If you can identify it, call or 12 at 855-839-1210. How about a four-pack of tickets to see the Reading Phillies Woo-hoo! Take on the Somerset Patriots at First Energy Stadium in Reading, and it's going to be on fireworks night. Friday, July 5th. For tickets, visit ReadingPhillies.com.
One more thing about that raid. Paul Swanholm on the YouTube chat writes that our sister station was reporting that there were possible war crimes committed during the rescue.
Mm.
The fact that any station, whether they're in this company or not, is leading with that is disgraceful.
Yeah.
It's disgraceful.
Talk about bias.
I mean, come on. Come on.
Yeah. War crimes.
We're bringing people home. Mm-hmm. They're bringing people home.
Yes.
We're bringing people, whatever.
We're just talking about them.
By the way, it was Chief Inspector Arnans Mora who was killed while bravely doing this rescue mission, so they named it Operation Arnan, and the UN is saying war crimes.
Sadly, it's actually becoming believable, right?
I know.
Give me chills when you said that. It's like... It's really upside down land.
It is.
But if you're Jewish, think about this. You're in America, or you're worldwide, you're looking at this, and think about now how all of a sudden you're thinking very differently.
Yeah. And if you're Jewish and you're going back to an Ivy League school this fall, don't forget tuition's due in a couple of months. 855-839-1210. Cut sheet part due, and our winner on the way. Stay right there. Back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Roger, go ahead. What's the clip that we played for you, sir?
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, buddy. Woo. 20 years ago today, June 11th, 2004, Napoleon Dynamite, a.k.a. Nick Foles. Congratulations. You've got the Reading Phillies tickets.
Wow.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. You guys rock.
You got it. Thank you very much, Roger.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
There we go.
Sorry, I have to...
I'm going to reboot my system over here.
Boys, on the checklist every morning, please, at 5:30, switch Nick's call screener over.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Switch it over and switch it home.
It's all good. It's all good. There's a learning curve here. We understand it.
All right. We'll find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show in about 20 minutes, what happened today in music history, and who won Twitter today. But first, let's get to what's on the cut sheet part two.
What's on
What's in the Cutchy Part News, sponsored by North to Shore Festival. It's almost time for Prudential Presents North to Shore, New Jersey's biggest music and arts festival, this June. Asbury Park, Atlantic City, and Newark, featuring over 200 performances, including the B-52s and Frankie Valli. No Elvis. No Elvis impersonators, as far as I can see. Visit NorthToShore.com. That's North to Shore, T-O, NorthToShore.com. Okay, at the White House yesterday, there was the Juneteenth celebration.
Yep.
And I want to play a couple of videos. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to see it. If you're not in a place where you can watch this, I completely understand. Nick Kale will beautifully describe it for you.
My tickets must have got lost in the mail, by the way. I submitted for a four-pack.
For a four-pack of Juneteenth celebration.
They never came.
So, Joe Biden sitting there next to a man in a dress, Kamala Harris, and just showing how white and uncomfortable he really is. All right, I'm going to start here with cut 20, Phil. Go. There we go.
Look at this. Far left on your screen, you have a man in a dress with a beard. Then to his right, moving left to right across your YouTube screen, is Doug Emhoff.
Yep.
Another white guy, totally out of his element. Kamala Harris, she's having the time of her life.
Biden isn't moving.
Joe's frozen. That's how I was when the second gummy hit 6 years ago, when the first one didn't do anything. I just sat there frozen. Having the time of their lives.
He is. Why is he not moving?
He just doesn't know where he is. Look at the smile on his face. He can't hear what that guy's telling him anyway. He's just pretending that he knows what's going on. Look at Kamala. She's got the clap going.
She has what?
Yeah, Doug doesn't have a tie on. Yeah, he took the tie off.
Wow.
By the way. Dawn, I can't really speak on what women see in men. Kamala Harris has a lot of criticisms, but I would not say that Kamala Harris, by any stretch, is an ugly female.
No,
she's not Randy Weingarten.
Come on, man.
She's a very... No, she's right. She's very pretty attractive.
Lady. Yeah, very attractive lady. What do you think she saw in Doug Emhoff? I don't see it, but then again, I'm a straight white cis male, so I don't really see much in any other men. What was the attraction? Is he a wealthy guy? What's his background?
Wealthy.
Yeah.
In Hollywood movies.
Okay.
Right.
I was told that Kamala was a lady investor. Lady of the people, though, is what she tells me. Hollywood elitist she married. Okay.
Another one from the Juneteenth celebration. Let's all have a clap along.
Yeah.
And always remember to clap in time, unlike our president. I believe this is 21, Phil, go.
I could go old school and say, clap your hands, everybody. And everybody, clap your hands.
look at Joe Biden.
Yeah, Pop-Pop's doing the, there you go.
Clap your hands to the people up top. Clap your hands. Watch this.
Doug's on a delay, too.
Uh-oh, he's beatboxing. That's amazing.
Joe's like, did I really sign up for this? Maybe a second term wasn't in my best interest.
You know, it's interesting. From all the questionable things that Joe Biden over the years has said about people of color,
mm-hmm.
and people of different ethnic backgrounds, do you think at any point his dementia kicked in and he searched for his wallet?
Or looked at his watch?
If I were smart, I'd say thank you and leave.
I'm just saying, do you think he went back in his mind to the days when he hung out with the segregationists,
yeah.
as he said that he Seggies. Always had, the Seggies?
Yeah.
And, you know, they weren't very accepting
no.
of African-American people.
Mm-mm.
That's all I'm saying.
He was also there for the American Revolution.
All right, if you're on YouTube right now, youtube.com/at1210WPHT, I want to play this video. There's no sound to it. Joe Biden, this is cut 22, Phil. Joe Biden is drinking this mysterious orange drink. If you want to roll it right now, cut Phil.
Okay.
Phil, go. So you can see him now.
No, it's a Gatorade bottle.
Is it?
Yeah. I can tell by the orange ring at the top. Yeah, he's drinking orange Gatorade. He's just got the label ripped off.
Yeah. You sure about that?
Or like a Pedialyte, maybe. Yeah.
A Pedialyte, maybe?
Yeah.
You think it's like
Prune juice?
Phil,
it's not dark enough.
Phil, can you just roll it on a loop? Because yeah. I want to see it again. I understand what you're saying. That was my initial thought that it was a Gatorade bottle.
Yeah, well, the kid size one. That's the one I give my daughters. You know, they take to school.
You don't think it was some sort of or some sort of drugs or something?
A cocktail, maybe?
Yeah.
It could be. It could be an orange vodka.
Just ask it, not.
Yeah.
You weigh in. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. Is it Gatorade in that drink? Phil, if you can put that poll question up there. Henry, one of you guys, if you can put that poll question up there. Is it Gatorade in that drink?
Just imagine how much
yes or no.
It's definitely not Gatorade because it's not marked.
Uh-oh. Well, did they? Yeah.
So it's a bottle that they took the label off because they put other stuff in there.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Let me ask you guys a question because that was initially what I thought of.
Okay.
The President of the United States has a lot of power. If he's holding a Gatorade bottle, that's free publicity for Gatorade.
Big endorsement.
Good point.
Yeah. Right?
Which Jeremy Burke says Pedialyte.
Pedialyte, yeah. If I was Gatorade, I would reject that endorsement.
Is the drink Gatorade? I'm going to put no on there. Okay. 77% say no right now. 23% say yes. 24 now.
Maybe he's trying to drink up the power of orange.
Maybe he's hydrating for his June 27th debate in 16 days. Yeah, he's going to be out there for 65 plus minutes.
Yeah,
you know, I know. Imagine if the big guy was sitting out there on Friday night when it's supposed to be 93 degrees. He'd have one of them big Stanleys with him.
Those big Stanleys?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on 1 second here.
Yeah, I'm going to go some sort of sports. Because remember, Joe likes sugar. Joe likes ice cream. Joe likes processed snacks. You know, Joe's a big snack guy for the, remember, the big Super Bowl, the big game coming up. I love ice cream and chips just like you guys do.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Dawn referenced this earlier. This is a Yale law professor, Jed Rubenfeld. He outlines a potential Trump legal strategy following the guilty verdict.
Okay.
He suggests there's another strategy for former President Donald Trump's legal team that they could pursue to limit the impact of D.A. Bragg's case on the 2024 presidential election.
Okay.
He says he is not a convicted felon until his sentencing. And people calling him that is, well, we'll let him explain. Cut one, Phil, go.
They could sue in federal court and ask for an emergency temporary restraining order. Restraining order of what? Well, let me tell you something that you might not know. You've probably been reading in the press, if you've been reading about this case, that Trump is already a convicted felon. The jury has convicted him. He's a convicted felon. Well, guess what? That's not true. You're not a convicted felon because of a jury verdict. You're not convicted unless the judge enters a judgment of guilt against you. The judge still has the power, as I told you before, to throw out that verdict and enter a judgment of acquittal. You are not convicted until the judge enters that judgment of guilt. Now, in New York, it's very likely that Judge Mershon will enter that judgment of guilt against Trump on the same day that he issues sentencing. That'd be July 11th. So what would this federal case be about? In this federal action, Trump would sue District Attorney Bragg and other state actors and ask the judge, the federal judge, for an emergency temporary restraining order halting Judge Mershon from entering that judgment of guilt until the federal courts have had an opportunity to review and rule on the serious constitutional arguments that exist here. And let me tell you why I think that might be a very important thing to happen. Because going after criminally a former president of the United States and somebody who is running for president now, that's a very bad look for this country. It's an especially bad look when the folks bringing the case and the judge deciding it are members of the opposing political party.
So that's from the Straight Down the Middle podcast by Professor Jed Rubenfeld.
All very legally valid, astute points. I'd like to think Todd Blanch is aware of that. If he's not, Trump should fire Blanch and hire him immediately. Yes, and the appellate process will play out. And look, it could be overturned and the whole bit. But here's the thing. The label of convicted felon, if you're a Trump supporter, for the most part, we've seen the polling numbers. It's not changing what you think of him or if you're going to vote for him. And on the left, it's not going to change much either. I mean, if you hate Donald Trump's guts, you're going to call him a convicted felon regardless of what a Yale law professor says. So all very bright, intelligent stuff right there. But in a polarized political world, I'm not sure convicted felon moves the needle for left or right.
Well, what he's saying is that technically, I did bring this up according to New York law, like when this all happened.
Mm-hmm. I remember you saying.
Nobody ever looks at Nick. Nobody else listens to me, including my husband. He's oh, well, everybody says convicted. I disagree. I think if that's the New York law, like the Yale professor just said, then it should negate all of the CNNs and whoever love to say the term convicted felon.
Yep.
So why do they continue to use it?
Right, because first of all, the left, that was the end goal all along. I really don't think they really care one way or the other about jail or, you know, going out and doing a community service and having him scrub a stop sign with graffiti. It's all about winning the election based on two words, because the left loves their words and they get offended by words, but they use words like convicted felon, threats to democracy, dictator on day one. It's all part of the package.
By the way, our YouTube poll going strong. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. Is that drink Gatorade right now? 81% say no. Maga Maga Man said it's a probiotic.
Could be.
Yeah.
Somebody said Metamucil.
Yeah, Dawn, I notice you're in the YouTube chat.
Is that bad?
Oh, I mean, I'd like you to pay attention to the show.
Boy. I am multitask.
Nobody cares.
Well, here we go.
I'm a woman. I can multitask.
Yeah, baby.
My chiropractor, Dawn, who you know, Dr. Mike, over in Bluebell, says he just sent me a text. He says it's gin and juice.
Ah, yes.
Gin and juice.
In honor of Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
For the gin team. So.
Trump Dog 2024.
All right, we have to break.
All right, we'll come back, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show, who won Twitter today, and today in music history. And if anybody else has any thoughts, you can text me throughout the show. I'll read your texts on the air. Kale and Company, back after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Let's find out what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history on Kale and Company.
Today, Tuesday, June 11th, we celebrate the birthdays of John Lawton from Uriah Heep, Frank Beard, the drummer from ZZ Top, and Donnie Van Zandt from 38 Special. Albums include Skid Row's Slave to the Grind from 91, Ozzy's Scream from 2010, and Mammoth Wolfgang Van Halen's debut from 2021. Singles include Rock the Casbah by The Clash from 82. Also, in 77, KC and the Sunshine Band became the second group after the Jackson 5 to have four U.S. number ones. In 66, European radio stations mistakenly reported Roger Daltrey was dead. Actually, Pete Townsend was in a car accident. No one died that day. Also, same day, Painted Black by the Stones hit number one in the U.S. But lastly, since all the tunes this week are by Elvis, thanks to Linda's huge donation, of course, I have Elvis news all week.
Ugh.
So today, in 57, Elvis's Golden Records was released by RCA Records. It's widely believed to be the very first greatest hits album in rock and roll history. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
Nice touch, Philip. Nice touch.
Who won Twitter?
Who won Twitter, sponsored by Malvern Retreat House. I'm giving it to Chris in Jersey. He said, there's nothing better than the sound of fully automatic weapons in the morning. I've got freaking wood. He must be a carpenter. He must be a carpenter.
Definitely a carpenter.
Visit Malvern Retreat House, the nation's largest Catholic retreat house. I'm sure they love this. Located in Chester County, Malvern Retreat House hosts men's, women's retreat, couples retreats, spiritual direction, recovery retreats, and more. Retreat from their noise. And hear God's voice at malvernretreat.com.
All right, stay tuned. The Dawn Show is next. We're back tomorrow at 6. Bruno at 8:30. Until then,
I'll see you tomorrow. Come talk to me.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.